New developments in the story about Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas and his relationship with billionaire Republican mega donor Harlan Crow. ProPublica has a new story saying that Justice Thomas sold some property to Crow and failed to disclose that as well. And the property is the house where Clarence Thomas's mother lives. For more on this and the long story of Clarence Thomas, let's go now to Jane Mayer, Chief Washington Correspondent for The New Yorker. She is author of Dark Money, The Hidden History of the Billionaires Behind the Rise of the Radical Right. Jane, welcome back to Here and Now.
Great to be with you.
This latest revelation from ProPublica, Harlan Crow purchased a house from Clarence Thomas with his mother living in it. Just response, what is yours?
Well, I think it's kind of amazing, really. So Harlan Crow is a billionaire whose family comes from the real estate business, but not the kind of real estate Clarence Thomas's family lives in, which is a tiny house outside of Savannah, Georgia. Apparently, Harlan Crow bought it from Clarence Thomas and his siblings in 2014. So that's a long time this has been going on and the public hasn't known anything about it. What is so surprising about it is judges of all kinds, but especially Supreme Court justices, are not supposed to have conflicts of interest. They're supposed to be independent in every way. Mm. And it's hard for me to imagine how independent you could be of, you know, doing favors for the man who has bought your mom's house and she's still living there. I mean, it's just a kind of a mind-boggling situation to have a personal billionaire benefactor owning a Supreme Court justice's mother's house.
And Crow gave a statement to ProPublica. I'm quoting here, "My intention is to one day create a public museum at the Thomas home dedicated to telling the story of our nation's second black Supreme Court justice." Crow is not hiding his relationship here with Clarence Thomas.
It's laudable, maybe, that Harlan Crow is so devoted to Clarence Thomas and wants to preserve the history of this Supreme Court justice's life. But it's the private money here that's the problem. I mean, there are a lot of ways that you can create sort of a presidential library or even a Supreme Court justice's library or homestead. Mm. The key here is none of this has been disclosed until now. Yeah. I mean, this has been going on for years. And this particular item is not a ton of money, but some of the other things that Harlan Crow has been giving to Clarence Thomas is really valuable. I mean, a $500,000 trip to Indonesia on a private yacht after flying there on Harlan Crow's private jet. I mean, these are big ticket items.
And for Clarence Thomas, you have been following, writing about him for a long time. The justice issued a statement saying he's always sought to comply with disclosure guidelines. But this isn't the first time this question has come up, has it, of failing to disclose what's required under the law?
There really is a history of this that is pretty eyebrow-raising and hard to understand for someone who is obviously a very smart lawyer, smart enough to be on the Supreme Court and a graduate of Yale Law School. I mean, the disclosure forms are not that difficult to understand. So if you take a look at the history, in the very beginning when Clarence Thomas went on the court, he did disclose some of these gifts from Harlan Crow, in particular private travel on Harlan Crow's private jet. But then when the press caught on to these gifts and the Los Angeles Times in 2004 wrote a story about it, that was the end of Clarence Thomas disclosing. He went silent after that. Mm. Then in 2011, so again, this has been kind of a long checkered history. 2011, the New York Times published what was a blockbuster story then about this same situation. Harlan Crow, again, giving all kinds of things to Clarence Thomas that weren't disclosed. And then also, Clarence Thomas not disclosing income as he was supposed to that his wife, Ginny Thomas, had earned, which came to approximately $687,000. A watchdog group figured it out and complained, and then Clarence Thomas he basically apologized and amended his disclosure forms to acknowledge that his wife had earned all of this money. I mean, and the reason it was of concern to people was Ginny Thomas's salary was coming from a conservative think tank, the Heritage Foundation in Washington, which has lots of interest in legal cases and legal matters. There's just been one problem after the next involving him. So Justice Thomas has really pushed the envelope almost to the breaking point, I would say, at this point. There have certainly been so many calls for this to be looked into further.
When you think about Harlan Crow, this billionaire real estate magnate, and his influence, the issues he cares about, the people he hangs out with, and when you think about Jeannie Thomas and her political web of high-level conservative connections in Washington, how could their influence potentially impact a case before the court?
Well, I mean, especially it's been a kind of a critical issue in the case of Jeannie Thomas, because she was personally involved so deeply in the effort to overturn the result of the last presidential election. She felt that it was a travesty to say that Biden had won. So she was quite involved in the sort of underground movement to see if that election could be voided. What surfaced are messages from her to Trump's former chief of staff, Mark Meadows, and, you know, they were pretty radical. And so when issues involving the 2020 election and Trump's potential efforts to overturn it came in front of the Supreme Court, there were quite a few people who said that Clarence Thomas should have recused, and he didn't. Instead, he was the single vote in favor of Trump on one issue that's related to all of this, and that became an issue.
Jane, tell us a little bit more about Jeannie Thomas and what we know about QAnon. She's been accused of taking QAnon ideology and spouting it.
Well, it's an oddity, but some of the text messages from Jeannie Thomas to Mark Meadows, the former chief of staff to President Trump, she has recirculated basically some of the QAnon conspiracy ideas, including some that were really far out. I mean, I suppose all QAnon is pretty far out, but one message about how the people who were in the Biden camp during the last election should be put on barges outside of Guantanamo and subjected to military tribunals. It was just very eye-opening, considering that she is the wife of a Supreme Court justice. What's interesting about Jeannie Thomas is she has always been pretty far out in terms of her political ideology. She grew up in a family that was very involved in the John Birch Society. She grew up in Omaha, Nebraska, and her mom was a big activist in the John Birch Society. So she comes out of the kind of the fringes, sort of fever swamps of American politics.
And with regard to Crow, Justice Thomas in his statement indicated Crow is not represented in a direct case that has come before the court, but are there still other ways that Crow could influence a case before the court?
Critics have been saying Harlan Crow has a distinct political agenda. He has an interest in moving the courts to the right on any number of issues, tax issues that would be helpful to him, and other issues, so that it might give undue influence to somebody like Harlan Crow, who seems to be lavishing so many luxuries on one justice.
So if you are the Chief Justice, John Roberts, who has spoken about the importance of the integrity of the court, its image before the public, might he be thinking about developing a specific code of conduct, you think, for the justices?
Well, they did just tighten up the code of conduct, actually, about a week before the ProPublica story broke. They didn't change the rules, but they said if any justice thought that it was okay to take private plane rides from a big donor, they're mistaken. It's never been okay. Justice Roberts must be very concerned. I think anybody who wants to respect the Supreme Court's got to be pretty concerned. This is putting it under a cloud of the kind of big, dark money that unfortunately is kind of flooding our political system. And there have been a number of proposals for what Chief Justice Roberts could do. There's one proposal that it's time to have some kind of inspector general at the court who would oversee compliance with the ethics rules. But, you know, I don't see that Chief Justice Roberts seems like he's ready to do that.
Jane Mayer is Chief Washington Correspondent for The New Yorker, and again, her book is Dark Money. Jane Mayer, thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for having me.